Good morning. Today, man, I did stab myself with a pencil. You do that in elementary school, right? Those stupid black pencils, you know, every once in a while you pop yourself. I just did it with a mechanical. Yeah. All right. It's the 7th of February. Obviously, it's a red letter day for me. Joining us this morning. Oh, you brought a cheat sheet.
This is a small
one. That's hardly fair.
Everyone got one with their ballot.
Is that the one that went out? Okay. Yeah. One ballot race from, county elections and, wait a minute, records?
We were just talking about it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
County clerk, recorder, and registrar of voters. A title so long it's got punctuation in there.
Let me see your badge. Does it have all that wording on there? Oh, it does. Jeez. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He's got a book.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, this is not off the top of my head. And I would really get nailed. All right. Politics and history is our category. You ready?
Yeah.
Why do monarchs refer to themselves using the royal we?
I imagine it's because they represent their kingdom. They are the person, the God chosen, entity.
That's what I was thinking. It was God, yeah. Because of Henry VIII and replacing the Pope. Let's see if either of us are close. When Roman consuls spoke of public issues, they did so on behalf of all those with whom they shared power. And so they use the plural pronoun we, rather than the singular I. The first king to use the royal we was Richard I, implying that he was speaking for his subjects as well as for himself. It's improper for non-royals to use the plural self-reference. So when Margaret Thatcher did it in 1989, quote, we were not amused. Oh, that's cool. Oh, boy. So, you having fun?
Yeah. On that note, though, on the we thing, I do, I was raised with the idea of leadership that we share credit and own blame. So, if something goes wrong, it's my fault. But if we do something right, it's, we did it.
Your credit, yeah.
And it drives my wife crazy. I'm always like, oh, we're doing this, we're doing that. You mean you're doing that?
Yeah.
You're doing that.
What's this we put? Yeah, there's an inclusion in that might not be embraced.
So we'll, when we give gifts, I've got a big family, and so sometimes I'll just, take the executive decision making on some of those gifts, and I'll be like, oh, we gave Chris this, and we gave Julia that. Like, I didn't do that.
Amazing how we do things. Yes. Well, I would suspect that sets things up nicely for a department. If you got a bunch of people that you're responsible to work with, not for or to, because you got the whole county that you're responsible to.
Yeah.
But in that kind of a reference, it's water. People, take it easy.
I'll vouch for that.
Yeah,
sparkling water, but it is.
We came in a little late on the old jingle thing there. How's that working out for you?
Well, I'm privileged to serve in the role that I serve. I have the kind of job where I'm excited to go to work every day. It's the sort of thing that that it's really easy to feel good about. It's not. I never question whether I'm doing the right thing. I never question whether I'm spending my time towards a goal that's worthwhile. I've been asked previously what the favorite thing about my job is, and it's kind of what I ended up doing.
Lunch?
Well, sometimes we get lunch. Sometimes we get lunch.
Yeah, getting lunch.
We do those in off years. It's problem solving. And I am very privileged to have a lot of those in terms of unique situations that come up. The kind of work that we do is highly legislated, which means that there's always legislation happening around it. And legislation to me is, how do I solve that? How do I take this thing that people kind of try to figure out in Sacramento and make it actually like
work.
Yeah. You know, given the resources and the unique qualities of Humboldt County that we have.
I would think that there would be an emotional purging prior to that.
You got to expand a little.
What are they doing to me? Blah. Yeah. And then you work it through.
A little serenity now.
Well, trying to figure out, you know, I don't think these people are ill-intentioned.
No.
I think they're ignorant as all get out and not seeing what the ripples mean. You know, we're just a little podunk little county here, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know about podunk.
So
like,
what is this? What does this mean to the big boys?
So,
the ripples as they hit the to use a water reference, the ripples as they hit the shore.
Absolutely.
Massive, and I don't think that they have a clue about that stuff.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of, well, A, you know, they're looking at this from the perspective of Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento.
Voting block. Gotcha.
Well, not just voting block, but then you have, I mean, the legislature is not just made up of a couple of people. You know, there's a lot of folks making those
right.
laws.
But our guys, right?
Yeah.
Border to bridge. Okay. You got Santa Rosa that's driving the boat. By and large, you know, we all like to feel that we're part of it, but that's where the focus is.
I mean, the voters get to decide that this election, you know.
Balance. Oh, you're bringing it back to that election thing, aren't you? Gee.
Yeah.
You
know, we have candidates from all across the district running for that office.
You mean more than just the one that has an ad in every commercial break in any sporting event that we have? Gosh, that's...
You know, we've got representation from Del Norte all the way down to, like you said, Santa Rosa. And so voters get to decide, you know, who's got that broader influence. And their participation is what's going to make that difference.
All right. He toes the line pretty good. We'll work on a little foot massage when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Hi! The KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop. Okay, elections, clerk, recorder.
Clerk, recorder, and register of voters.
The
register
Dang!
Of voters is that elections part.
Register of voters. All right. Eventually, I'm going to have a little booklet here. You know?
Right?
Yeah. Just have to figure out which words are correct. So, Juan Pablo, as you're looking at where we are in Humboldt County, going back, you know, we had to upgrade the voting machines because of this. Yeah. And then they were out of compliance. We had to do it this way. I mean, you know, and I still like Chad. I'm sorry. That was part of the mystique, I think, of elections.
Oh, we don't like a lot of that mystique.
Yeah, I know. And now we got the motor voter, drop it off anytime. How is that going to continue to evolve? Is anybody talking about 10 years from now? What is this election process going to look like with all the security needs that need to be in place to avoid voter fraud? What's that going to look like?
We're constantly reevaluating that. We're always checking to make sure, A, we go through. Part of why it takes so long for us to do a lot of the work that we do is that we're very meticulous at just checking absolutely everything. Everything gets auditable. Everything is done in such a way that security is at the forefront of every decision we make. Going 10 years out is tough, you know. Given the fluid and dynamic nature of that legislature, who knows what's going to come down the pipeline next year and the year after that. We historically have seen about 40 to 50 election laws come through the legislature, about half or more of those get passed.
Per cycle or per annum?
Per annum.
Really?
And some of those changes happen through little gradual changes that don't meaningfully impact the way that we do things. It's, you know, moving a comma.
A word here, a word there, grammatical, yeah.
But some of them are very small changes that have massive implications. And so we're kind of on that timeline of making sure we're as compliant as possible and looking at things two years out, you know, election cycle by election cycle. 10 years out, there's stuff that comes through the legislature. Things like one of the big scary things in my world is the idea of internet voting. Internet voting is something that myself and folks in my role across the state are not in favor of, but there's a push towards that.
Who's pushing?
In that direction. You know, it always comes with the best possible intentions. It's folks that are looking for increased accessibility for those with, you know, accessibility needs. And so the idea that...
So like the ADA stuff isn't enough?
That's the argument, is that...
Oh, okay.
That you can take it further and that you can enfranchise folks by giving them this as similar an experience as others might be able to have, given their limitations.
So is that why we got away from Election Day?
That's not necessarily part of it. The idea of moving away from Election Day is that we've had, in my opinion, criminally low voter turnout. You know, there's a...
Oh, yeah, compared to so many other countries.
Oh, I mean, even compared to ourselves years ago, you know.
Right, yeah, coming out of a war or something, all of a sudden everybody's figuring it out.
We were in the 40% range last year. 40%? You know, if I told you that some country that we may not be happy with had a 40% voter turnout in their election, we'd question that.
Yeah. I mean, but on the other hand, if you're not motivated enough to do it, should you count?
So you're talking about personal responsibility, right?
Yeah, I know that's not a word often
often
shared with a lot of folks out there, but yeah.
Get
off your butt and do it.
And we look at what we're doing with that framework in mind, with that idea of personal responsibility. And it's in the title, right? It's personal responsibility. I'm not looking over voters' shoulder to make sure they're doing what they need to do in terms of showing up or whatnot. I'm figuring out what can I do to make this process better. And so it's us taking personal responsibility over getting rid of barriers stopping folks from voting.
But if somebody's not motivated, I mean, there's plenty of examples of government trying to legislate personal behavior. And look at the tobacco industry as an example. You know, we have these sin taxes. People still smoke.
Do you think people smoke at the rates that they did prior? This is a
I don't think that it's impacted whether you do or whether you don't.
This is an empirical question.
Of course it is. That's what makes it so much fun.
And you're telling me that pre-regulation people voted as frequently as they do now?
No, what I'm saying is government has tried to tell people how they're going to behave, and if they're not motivated in that direction already, ain't going to work. Syntax on booze, same thing. You know, are people drinking less because it costs more? No, they're probably still spending the same amount of money. Other areas are being impacted by that. So I look at something like this, and you know, you could probably make it as easy as possible. And then you're not going to get folks to vote. Or even worse, you're going to get people who vote that don't know what they're voting on.
So,
you know, and it's the title of that state proposition. They don't even bother reading the summary that you guys put together, let alone the detail of it.
So we tend to be leery of checking folks' education. You know, the idea of a test to vote is one that hasn't...
Right.
That isn't very palatable.
You got to be able to read it and understand it, but... Beyond that, you know, you make it available. The door's unlocked. If you want to come through the door, come on through the door. We'd love to see you.
You know, and there's multiple, you know, things at play. One of the things that you and I were talking about before the show is my favorite part of the job, which is problem solving. And rarely...
A cliffhanger. All right, let's see if he has a solution to this one, gang. When we come back, it's 8:30.
something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
Lars. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Juan Pablo Cervantes. Okay, let me see here. Register of Voters.
We're talking about a problem.
That was the No. I'm getting the title first. That's my problem.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Register of Voters.
Clerk, Recorder,
and Clerk, Recorder. Okay, I got it. I'll just knock out the election thing. Yeah. So the problem, the challenge, if you will, that's out there to bring things around.
We were talking about turnout, right? And turnout isn't like a one-dimensional problem. The kind of problems we have at the level, I guess, of you know, decision-making that we're at aren't, you know, you're not going to solve them with one small Band-Aid. you know, they're going to be complex. And so
I think Johnson & Johnson would make a ton of money if it was one small Band-Aid that could do
right?
that trick.
Yeah. As long as they could patent it, right?
Right. One per county, and we're off to the races.
And so we have to tackle it with the idea that there's multiple facets to it. Removing barriers is one of those ways, but that's not sufficient.
Does anybody ask the voters? No, wait a minute. Does anybody ask the registered voters that don't vote, why they don't vote?
We endeavor to.
Is it a physical? Is it an emotional? Is it, well, there's nobody running for office? Or is it the old tried and true, well, one vote doesn't count, so I don't, it's too inconvenient for me to go out.
We endeavor to. We do outreach. We try to collect data as best as possible, and we look at trends and you know, reasoning of why one might not. Some of that's guesswork. One of the things that we've found is that that in order to vote, you have to have something at stake. You have to understand.
You mean a stakeholder?
I don't want to say stakeholder, but you have to have
vested.
Yeah, you have to. Well, you have to understand what you're voting for. So with voter registration, I'm always going to encourage people to register to vote if you're eligible to do so. But essentially, you're signing up. You're filling out a long form in order to fill out future long forms. With very few of those things that are easily accessible in terms of how it relates to the person. When you got two jobs, you know, you're a single mom, you know, there's a lot to research there. And you don't recognize anybody on the ballot because none of those folks come from your community.
What about, oh boy, this is tough for me to say, truth in advertising. Okay, tongue in cheek, take it easy, everybody. with the state propositions. The labeling of these things, the entitle, way often, it has absolutely nothing to do with what the true legislation or the true documentation or document has to do. Label it sexy. Everybody's in favor of, you know, Clean Air and Water Act of 2024. And it talks about things that have absolutely nothing to do with that, but it's labeled as such.
So there's a couple of components to that, right? On your ballot, you're going to see like a small title, and then what we call the ballot label is usually about a paragraph long, right?
Yeah, it's not even a white paper. It's just a quick something.
Yeah, it explains it as briefly as possible. Those are drafted by lawyers to be as impartial as possible, to really get at the grit of what this thing is doing.
State level?
At the state level, yeah, it'd be the Attorney General's office.
So all ballots throughout the state have that same terminology and verbiage?
For the propositions, that's correct.
For the state stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't draft those. We don't do any of that stuff. We get it from the Secretary of State's office after it goes through the process.
Cut and paste.
Exactly. Similar to local ballot measures, something like Measure A. We went a little extra in our county to make sure it was as impartial as possible by having outside counsel create those for us based on the legislation being proposed.
Because it was too close, because of the 38 pages, or because of the emotional components in there, you wanted to be sure to not lean one, or lean the other.
I think it's the appearance of impropriety we're trying to avoid. Not just impropriety itself, but any kind of remote, even idea that we had our finger on the scale at all.
So a lot of small words.
Yeah. A lot of complicated small words.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that a lot of these propositions and measures, they're doing a lot of very complicated work in terms of how our government functions. And that's not easy to distill into a quick little quip.
Well, and the goofy thing, I think, is compounded as it is, as complicated as it is, as detailed as it is, it's still only 80%. The actual application, all of a sudden you start finding all these goofy things that either weren't addressed, that should have been, or that were, that shouldn't have been, or then the courts jump in and spin it around a little bit again. Yeah, it's got to be a challenge trying to do it as tightly as you can, particularly if it's a local measure.
Yeah.
Because now it's you guys trying to figure all this stuff out.
Yeah.
Maybe those are career-making abilities to be able to do that, but I can't imagine anybody can really get that dialed in to the point where there's certainty.
I imagine it's like a work in progress. So, you know, you get the measure, you know, whether it passes or fails, you're faced with, you know, legislative and regulatory decisions you need to make. And you just need to make stuff work, because government isn't like a, you know, it's not like a small business. You can't close for renovations. You have to keep delivering services.
Yeah, we've seen that at the courthouse over and over and over.
You have to keep doing what you got to do. You can't just, you know, turn everything off. We'll figure things out and then we'll open back up afterwards. And so there's a lot of cleanup language that happens afterwards. There's bits that weren't foreseeable, no matter how much you might be able to analyze the situation.
Speaking of renovations and courthouses, and do you have everybody on your staff back in the office?
Yeah, we never didn't.
Yeah, I don't understand some of these you hear about, and maybe it's the private sector more than the public sector. Oh, we still have 30% of our staff working from home. Huh? I mean, maybe they're able to, you know, but it's just curious to me that some of these folks are able to continue operating that way.
We're exploring telework as a mechanism of increasing efficiency.
So, like television, we can monitor what's going on.
It's folks being able to work from home, and so it wasn't tied to the pandemic that we started looking at that, because during the pandemic we actually increased our working hours and were more available to the public. Just knowing that things were in an uncertain time, so we started opening through lunches and things of that nature.
Well, and you need more, in theory, you needed more space in between. That means more people, because you can't, yeah.
We staggered staff so that you had fewer people in the office, but they were there a longer period.
Longer
of
period,
time.
Yeah. Did you learn anything out of that? Or did,
yeah.
Did the office learn? I mean, obviously, it was before you being the head honcho, but
yeah.
Were there some things that kind of came out of that were cool?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, workload shifted altogether. We saw, like in the in elections, for example, in both offices, we saw a shift from clerical work to more analytical administrative work. As folks stopped bringing in pieces of paper into our office, whether those were voter registration forms or in-person paper recordings, and started moving more towards online voter registration forms and e-recording, we saw a shift in who we needed to be working for us. Essentially, we needed fewer folks that were doing data entry, and we needed more folks figuring stuff out, figuring out problems in a new environment.
So more gray matter than blue collar.
Oh, I mean, it's all gray matter, just different specializations.
Yeah, moving into other areas. Huh. So what has been the reaction to the new approach to voting?
The Voters' Choice Act.
The what?
The Voters' Choice Act.
Yeah, is that like the motor voter thing?
So the motor voter thing is separate. The motor voter thing is when you go to the DMV, you have the ability to register to vote. Some people don't know that. Some people re-register without thinking because they don't pay attention to all the boxes they're checking. But that's the motor voter. That had a rough start, but I think it's starting to – all those kinks are starting to get worked out. All of the cleanup is happening, you know, from that law.
And the mail-in ballots, you know, Oregon's had that for years. That was when we had the stations up north. It was mind-boggling. I couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. But it seems like that's the general trend throughout the country.
Yeah,
to do that.
I mean, and vote by mail isn't a new thing. You know, it's just the.
Well, yeah, absentee ballots. Yeah, for a long time. Yeah.
I mean, we've had them since the Civil War, and so it's voting by mail is not a unique and novel thing. It's just the scale at which it's being done, and that's the other thing.
Is it easier to process that stuff?
So yes and no. We're able to do it. So assuming that folks vote early, we have more of a ramp up to do a lot of the work that needs to get done, so that it doesn't all have to be done in one day or the days leading up to it.
But that information remains confidential, though, right? Those results?
We don't get results. So we do everything to the ballot except for any math. And we have our equipment is set up to be able to do that and not allow us to do any math.
So all the double-checking that somebody actually lives at that address and
all that stuff, we could check the signature, connecting with the voter to make sure that they fix their signature if, you know, they had a shaky hand or something.
And
all of that
and
stuff.
That they're not dead?
And that they're not dead. Well, we have mechanisms to check that as well. Like, long title means a lot of offices. One of those offices holds death certificates for the county.
So there is cross-reference?
Yeah.
KIN, sorry, cheap shot, but yeah, it felt right. It's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Hello. It's 8:49. More great conversations during breaks interrupted by live microphones.
Right.
Oh, well. Such is life in the big time. Juan Pablo Cervantes is with us this morning. So what is the biggest misnomer that people have about either elections, registration, you know, that end of your job?
You know, the biggest...
Or your biggest frustration might be another way to frame it.
So the length it takes to certify an election is one of those things that we face a lot. And you know, there's a lot to that. People will say that, you know, 15 years ago, results were given.
You mean the Don Michael era? To me, that was kind of, it was cool. You know, it was Humboldt versus Del Norte, who was going to be the first county.
Yeah.
And it was always sometime around 10 o'clock, whether it was 9:43 mm-hmm. and Del Norte is done, and then we come in at like 9:57 and rats missed it by, you know, it was the drive-in from Hoopaw and they ran into a slide or, you know, something along those lines. But certainly things have changed. I would imagine it's been driven by court cases.
I mean, some of that is it's mostly tied to the idea that that we only want to do it once, that that elections are the sort of things that you have to do accurately, that you have to do methodically, that you have to do it in such a way that all of your processes and the results that are derived by them are bulletproof. And so we go about, you know, certifying doesn't just mean, oh, we counted the ballots. You know, that's one step of the process. Other bit is that more and more people are dropping their vote by mail ballot off on election day. And so all that processing that
more
we could
and
have
more,
done,
yeah, more and more, less, I mean, historically, the amount that's being dropped off now is far less than what it was, you know, you show up to the ballot box and you...
Different you processes.
Know. Oh, totally independent.
Yeah. So dropping off a dropping off a vote by mail ballot in the envelope and everything at the polling place, it's very quick for the voter to do. They could just pop it into a box.
But you guys got to play with it in three or four different ways.
But we have to process the whole thing. Yeah. Whereas you all of that extra wait time that you otherwise would have spent in the poll, you know, waiting in line, checking in, going through that whole process, that all gets done at the site. And so when we get those ballots back on election day, those are all kind of pre-processed, if you will.
So you
can't. Signatures have been.
Okay, right. So, I've never done it, so I'm totally ignorant on this. So I vote, I get the ballot to my wise reflections.
Yeah.
Put it all together. I come by and I just, if you're a poll, I just kind of hand it to you.
Yeah, we'll have a box there for you. You just pop
so
in
why
the
not require them to go through and do the checkoff and everything except go to behind the curtain to make the vote, so that it saves the process.
Because it adds time. It makes it take time, not just for us.
2-3 minutes?
Oh, 2-3 minutes magnified by, 2,000-3,000 voters.
So yeah. It's quicker to do it as it is now rather than the old way.
We'd have to hire more staff.
That's right, because you don't have that many polling stations anymore, do you?
We don't. Yeah, we've gone down to 13, but the idea is that there are fewer of them, but they're open longer. More days, more ways to vote. The other bit, and this is like a drastically big change that I think is the primary reason that we shifted to the Voters' Choice Act in Humboldt County, is that there are parts of the county, there have always been, that are vote-by-mail only precincts. Mail ballot precincts is what we call them.
Right.
They weren't assigned a polling place, so the only place they could come to vote in person is our office. No longer is that the case. Now, any voter can go to any of those voting centers and vote in person. And so that right to vote in person has been protected through this.
And having a couple of day window makes it more plausible if weather or whatever happens.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll give you that one. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Appreciate you.
See everybody tomorrow.